Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening here on Blog Talk Radio, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
I want to say how grateful I am to Tyler Perry. He is probably one of the most brilliant young entrepreneurs that we have. Why do I admire him? I have never seen his portrayal of Medea as a man cross-dressing. I saw his wonderful portrayal of Medea as bringing to the forefront the strongest person in the history of our sojourn in America, and that is Medea. That strong black woman who was the cornerstone of her family. She always was that figure that gave guidance, correction, reprimand, discipline. And Tyler Perry brought her to the screen in funny ways. But what I was seeing was the greatness of the strong black woman who saw us through from yesterday to today.
Assalamu alaikum and peace be unto you. This is Ava Muhammad, your host of Elevated Places, and we are live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. That's blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. So you can log in and listen, and please notify your friends and family that we are on. Also, remember, this is a talk show, and so it is driven by the callers who have made this show so successful and made it the place to be every Thursday evening. 347-324-5091 is the number, 347-324-5091. Now, you were just listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and that was an excerpt from a year of end-of-year interview that Minister Louis Farrakhan conducted at the historic Final Call Administration building at the Final Call newspaper offices in Chicago on January 1st, 2013. And tonight we are going to take a look at that profound and historic roundtable discussion between Minister Farrakhan and the staff of the only independent black-owned and black representation, Our Issues newspaper in the United States and really around the world. Of course, I am so pleased tonight to be joined by my wonderful co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Well, alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you this wonderful evening?
Oh, I am doing great. I had a very, very profound day, and we're also going to be joined this evening by our Elevated Places contributor, our agricultural economist, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and he's probably fired up for the same reason that I am. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely. How are you, sir?
Well, alaikum salam.
Good to have you on as well.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. So there's a lot going on, Brother Terrence, and shortly we're going to be joined by two special guests who have an announcement they're going to share with the Elevated Places family. But first, Brother Terrence, we're going to do news around the nation with you and talk about, of course, what for us is the most important event of the year, and at this time in our history should be the most important to all of us. And before you do that, Brother Terrence, I do want to remind the audience, don't forget the latest lecture that I delivered at Mas Mariam December 30th, entitled One Man. That lecture is now available on DVD and CD at avaspeaks.com. And next week on this channel, Elevated Places, we are going to have in the studio live Dr. Francis Cress Welsing. So that's a very exciting prospect for next week. Dr. Francis Cress Welsing will join us on the Elevated Places. But right now, Brother Terrence Muhammad, take it away.
Yes, ma'am. We're thankful to the Elevated Places for our sister coming on next week. But we always want to remind everybody that the crowning event of Black History Month is coming up, and it's just about 6 weeks away. That is Savior's Day in Chicago. It'll be downtown Chicago, Illinois, on February the 22nd through the 24th. You can go to NOI.org to learn more about the historic and wonderful occasion called Savior's Day and hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan deliver on the economic blueprint of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad so we can get what we need for our people. And also, if you have not heard what you need to hear, and every TV, every cable station needs to get, Minister Farrakhan will be doing weekly lectures every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern at noi.org/the time. The lecture series is The Time and What Must Be Done. And we will be talking about the first one that he did this past Saturday, but remember to tune in to noi.org/the time. And we want everybody, all the young people, to start tweeting about it, Facebooking about it, and start group discussions on your social network about the dialogue and the words and guidance from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I do want to mention a couple of things before we go into our show, is that this whole issue about violence, as we know, that happened in Chicago, 500 murders last year, President Obama has issued Vice President Biden to do a task force on this gun violence. And some people that are friends with had a meeting at the White House on Monday on this discussion, but we know that we have to do something for ourselves. And I was looking at the interview with Piers Morgan and Alice Jones, and the thing that Alice Jones told Piers Morgan, he said, if you try to take our guns, the Republicans will rise if you try to take our guns. So this country is at war with itself, so we have a lot to discuss tonight, and you can go get the latest edition of the Final Call newspaper, and you can read some of the words from Minister Farrakhan about the time and what must be done in this crucial and critical hour that we are living in as these gun sales are going out the roof.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I heard that same interview, or saw it rather, the Alex Jones on Piers Morgan. I think everybody should take a moment. The interview was on CNN, and it's posted now, where you really get a some insight into the mindset of a very significant segment of the U.S. population. Very, very critical. And as Minister Farrakhan has said, and we're going to talk about shortly, more from his roundtable discussion, and we're going to talk about, as Brother Terrence gave us, the heading of this 52-week series, The Time and What Must Be Done. What we're going to do right now, we're joined on the line by two wonderful brothers. Both of them are members of the faculty at Muhammad University of Islam. These are some brilliant and very dedicated brothers who are engaged day-to-day in the education and development of our future, our children. And they're going to talk about an event that I have been given the privilege and honor of being a part of. But this is an idea that originated with them. And so I want to welcome to the Elevated Places line Brother Ahmad and Brother Carl. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you both this evening?
We're fine.
Very good.
Excellent, excellent. Oh, everything is wonderful. It's great to be alive and have the knowledge of God Himself. So you have invited me to take part in a conference this spring, and right in line with some of the things that Minister Farrakhan has said and some of the things we're going to play this evening, excerpts from his talk at the roundtable discussion. Can you talk to us about this event that's coming up in April?
Yes. Ava, and to you, all of your listeners, we want to thank you very much for having us on. We appreciate it.
Yes.
And we are excited to be a part of your listening audience and participate and to be among those who are striving to help our people and make a difference in this world. Brother Carl, would you like to go into what we are doing, or would you like for me to?
Sure. We're planning to host a youth rites of passage in a time of trouble. And our guest is Sister Ava Muhammad, or the main person who will be speaking the keynote. And I, like Brother Ahmad, would like to thank Sister Ava and her host for inviting us on to speak, and also to thank the listening audience who may be listening, to thank them also. It's going to be held at Camp Kiswa, and it's located in Spanish Lake, Missouri, which is right outside of St. Louis. It's about a 4.5-hour drive from Chicago, and the date of the event is April 18th through the 21st. That's Thursday, and culminating on Sunday, or ending on Sunday, April the 21st. And we have a lot of things that we would like to cover, because as we know, our youth right now, they are in peril, as the minister has been going out in the streets throughout America and warning our youth. And so we felt like an event like this would be helpful to further warn and assist our youth in making some of the tough decisions in life that they need to make so that they can pass through safely in this time of trouble. Brother Marv, would you like to start us off with some of the stuff that will be covered?
Yes, thank you. Sister Evan, to your listening audience, one of the things that we are going to be covering in the conference, of course, we're convening it, and we will have participants and persons who will be laying out for us the science of good decision-making. On that topic, of course, it would cover the proper gathering of data to make a decision, you know, when a decision is best for the greater good, and then how to separate, you know, the emotions from making a rational decision with reason. We're also going to be speaking on the topic of how to choose a productive career. Brother Carl, you'd like to hit some of the points on that?
Yes, sir, sure. Some of the things that we'll be covering on how to choose a productive career is basically, when you decide to choose a career, you have to make sure that your career choice is something that will that you would choose that would, you could eventually work for yourself. Because oftentimes if you choose a career, and let's say something happened where you get laid off, and now you chose a career that is not easily turned into something that you can do for yourself, then now you're stuck. So when you look at a career, you need to look at it from the standpoint of, if I go into this career and I get good at this career, can I then turn around and do something for myself after selecting such a career? And then you have to look at a career from the standpoint of, how would it affect your family? Now, these are things that will be covered by people that will be invited to this event that will go into details. We're just kind of just giving you just a brief overview of these things.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And a good career choice also should lead you to be able to center around how you plan to live your life. And if you don't look at these factors, you could choose a career that may not fit with your personality or may not fit with you as well. So all of these type of things will be discussed.
Yes,
Brother
sir.
Mark, you can go on and discuss some of the other issues.
We're excited about doing this, of course, because it's going to be, you know, a youth rites of passage transitioning from the youth transitioning from eighth grade into high school and then from high school on to college. So this is something that we're very excited about doing, and we love
Absolutely.
The fact that we're able to give this information to your listening audience.
Now, is there a telephone number? And I know that more information will be forthcoming, and in the coming weeks we're going to have you back on and talk more about this conference. The place where it's being held is where we had the Nation of Islam single retreat.
Yeah.
Last year. It's a beautiful, beautiful natural area. So it's a nice getaway for families. And most significant of all, it's a good time to bond, bonding between our young people and those adults, their parents or guardians, whoever's responsible for their development, so that we can do all we can in the midst of this trial that our community is going through, to hold on to our children until such time as we can break away and out from under the influence of the slave master, which we're going to talk about shortly in the show itself. But if you all could leave us with a phone number or numbers that the listeners can call in, and we have quite a few on, and they can start to put this on their calendar. That's give me the dates again.
April 18th through April 21st.
Okay.
Of this year, 2013.
Yes, sir.
We have
and
a couple of phone numbers and a website.
Okay. Yes, sir.
First phone number is 312-662-2556. Again, that's 312-662-2556. The other number is 708-359-0872. 708-359-0872. Yes, sir. The website is campkiswa.com. So www.campkiswa.com. campkiswa.com.
Yes,
Mr. Ava, on that website, of course, we have the weekend laid out and the topics that are going to be covered.
Okay.
We also have the breakdown of the cost of the event, and we have an easy paying method where you can break the cost into a couple of payments or a one-time payment. I think we have it on there so it's easy to pay, even if you want to pay it in three payments.
Okay.
So it's nice and convenient and it's user-friendly. But please, you all please take a look at it. It's something that we are excited about doing and thinking to be highly beneficial for our people and for all of those who are striving to better themselves to help create a better reality for ourselves.
Yes, sir. Well, Brother Ahmad Muhammad and Brother Carl Muhammad, members of the esteemed faculty at Muhammad University of Islam, thank you so much for, number one, developing this conference and then sharing it with us. I am without doubt sure that it's going to be an overwhelming success. So may Allah continue to bless you both. Thank you so much.
I'd like to bless you all as well. Thank you all.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Wa alaikum salam.
So, Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence, we know that as we move toward Savior's Day and Minister Farrakhan's address, Muhammad's economic blueprint ending poverty and want, there's so much swirling about us in terms of events that are taking place. And really, the America is just in a state of upheaval. Even into his second term, it doesn't appear that President Obama has been able to achieve balance. He continues to be treated basically in the same fashion that he was when he first got elected. His credibility continues to be challenged. Every single act that he takes, whether it's the appointment of a cabinet member or tax issues, he's being fought tooth and nail. The concern I have right now is I noticed that in the selection of his closest advisors for his second term, unless I'm missing something, Brother Terrence, I didn't see a single black face
in the group. Yeah, well, it's funny as you say that because, you know, if you go back to the Final Call article, and one of the things that the senior editor, Askia, he said, do you believe President Obama would try to live up to the promises of his dream in the second term, or would he just continue to capitulate to the powerful interests with which he surrounded himself in this first term? And Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan answered, I believe that our brother will try, but he will be overwhelmed by the forces, and if he doesn't bend to the forces, they'll find a way to make sure that he doesn't fulfill four more terms. And I raise that is because as we're looking at it, you know, most black people are like, okay, we know he had to buck dance in the first one, but he's in there in the second one, and we really still believe that he's going to push the powers that be not to allow him to do what he has already done. Someone said that, you know, now there was some kind of a policy that was put into place where they're allowed to kill teenagers or kill children if they're in collaboration with anybody that are considered terrorists. So, you know, they can add them. I guess they won't be considered collateral damage anymore. They will just be added to the number count of people that they have killed. So, you know, a lot of things that this man that our people love are being, he's been manipulated and moved in a way that is not good for other countries and not really even good for ourselves. So as we're looking at this whole issue of gun control, you know, we have more armed drones that what you call Al Jones is saying going across our own nation. So all of the things that we have said or seen, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, what you see overseas will come back here. So President Obama, even though, like I said, black folks and Latinos love him and brought him back into office, the powers that be are making sure that his legacy is a legacy of death because the amount of people that he have killed under his presidency is still skyrocketing. So we will see what our brother tries to do, but remember the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at Savior's Day, how they have treated him and how they will continue to treat him as long as he's in that seat as president, as a black man.
Yeah, his hands are absolutely tied, and that leaves us, Dr. Ridgely, with nowhere else to go but to the final solution, which is the best and only solution, which is separation.
That's right. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is guiding us, and if we will just listen, and carrying us through the shadow of death and through the bloody Red Sea. And
right.
In the sense that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad warned us that one day that there will be a bloodbath in America, and it's being set up for that, and we have to listen carefully to the minister and be on in his spirit and follow his guidance as he tries to get us through this very dangerous period. I pulled President Obama, you know, he was put in my opinion, as a joke. In other words, Bush and his boys and robbed the bank. The Federal Reserve just gave all the money to their friends overseas, and they put a black man to take the fall, and he
right.
was supposed to have done such a bad job that he would have been laughed out of office. But instead, the people put him back. So now they're in a real quandary of how to deal with him and what to do, because they really didn't plan for him to be there at this time. So as we begin to awaken to what we're in and realize that the people who we think are in control, like, quote-unquote, the president, there's none of the presidents have been in control for a while. If you remember, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has always talked to us about the shadow government.
Right.
And now we're seeing more and more that it's a shadow government, and whoever sits on that throne is just a figurehead.
Exactly. And that shadow government in the last days is coming out into the light.
Yes.
And this is why the minister has chosen to do a 52-week, that's a year, 52-week series, the time and
right.
what must be done. And he spoke of the fact that his teacher, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, gave us the theology of time. In the summer of 1972. And so now in this time, over 40 years later, as America actually enters her complete disintegration, I mean, it's really happening before our eyes. And this is why, as the brothers who were just on, Brother Ahmad and Brother Carl, are talking about regaining and taking charge of our youth, our children, ensuring that they're properly empowered and inspired. And, of course, Minister Farrakhan addresses that as well. And we'll listen to that shortly. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the film Django again, which is pretty much taking on a life of its own, because it contains what Minister Farrakhan called a prescription for civil war is in that film. But we've got some callers waiting to get in the discussion. Brother Anwar Amir is on the line. He has a question. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm calling out of Anniston, Alabama. I'm a registered
okay.
FOI in the city of Birmingham, but I actually stay an hour out of Birmingham. And I would like to just tell you that I love your show, and I have been following you patiently all through the years, and I just love your show, and you're a big fan of mine, and you always remind me of my mother, Vonzetta Muhammad, who was registered in New York in the early 70s. So, I mean, it's a blessing that you have your program and you're reaching out to all of us, and I just glad thank you for that. And I just had a question, because earlier today, I went with my nephew. He was accused of having a BB gun. He carried a BB gun to school. He's in the fifth grade, AB honor roll student. And, you know, I had him come over my house a couple of days ago to watch, you know, the minister, you know, and he was just blown away. He never heard of the minister. You know, he was just blown away. And, you know, I talked to him about the lynching. I talked to him about the friends that he may be hanging out with, you know. So my question is, you know, we went to the school and we told him, don't be nervous, you know, because he carried this gun to his school, a BB gun, and there was two witnesses in the class. From what I hear, one witness is a white girl. I'm not sure what the other witness is. She was saying that, you know, she did not tell the teacher that he had the gun in his book bag. She waited till her father picked her up, and she told the father, there's a little black boy in the school with the gun, okay? And the father goes to the principal and says, well, there's someone in such and such class that has a gun. So the principal goes and says, well, I think, you know, your student has a gun. So he went and got the gun and said, well, yeah, I have it. He didn't try to hide it. He didn't do anything like that. And they kicked him out of school. They suspended him from school. And my question is, what's the law against bringing a BB gun compared to an illegal gun? Because when we walk into the courtroom today, I mean, it seemed like just us having our suits on, it seemed like it just changed their mind instantly, you know, and we was concerned parents. I was just trying to figure out, you know, what's really going on in America, because, you know, that's just the question I have. What are the differences between an illegal gun and just a BB gun from what my brother told me? His father said that the gun did not have no bullets, and the other witness was saying that he was loading the gun inside the bag. And you know, my nephew told me that the gun didn't even have no bullets, no pellets, or whatever you put in it. So I was just saying, all praises be to Allah. We was able to change the thinking maybe just by our presence in that courtroom today. And I just like to say that I'm doing things in the community to try to make our community safe, and try and do things with the youth. And I'm just trying to see where I can be more helpful in my community to help our young black men. So sorry for the long question, but that was just something I had to say today.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Brother Anwar, for your question and your comments and what you brought. The first thing, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, comes to my mind is that we are absolutely forbidden in the Nation of Islam to own, to possess, to carry, to use any weapon, firearm. We don't carry a pen knife. We don't believe that there's any such thing as gun control. Guns just are a non-existent entity in our reality. They represent the mindset of Caucasian people, and as we know, the primary objective, and of course we'll have Frances Cress-Welzing on next week, and she deals with, in support of the Messenger's teachings, the genetic fear of annihilation of the white man. There is nothing we can do about their paranoia. There's nothing we can do about their innate knowledge that they are only on this planet for a limited period of time. And as was mentioned earlier about the, is it Alex Jones, Brother Terrence, that was on CNN?
Yes, ma'am.
You really need to see that clip. His name is Alex Jones, white activist on CNN, and they're telling you that they will go to war. Dr. Ridge just mentioned the bloodbath that we were promised by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So our only recourse at this point in America's history is to separate from her.
Right. Could I say one more thing?
Certainly.
Just 2 weeks ago, Sister Ava, at the middle school here in the city, there was supposedly this young brother that was in the sixth grade, you know, just right after the shootings, he pulled the alarm by saying that he had a bomb. It was a prank. You know, the boy was just 12 years old. He didn't know what he was doing, but they suspended him from the local middle school. Just after the shooting in Newtown, there was a guy in one of the next door counties who shot three of his brothers. This was a Mexican man. He shot three of his brothers and came almost right to the interstate, right down the street from my house. He shot a police officer, and they ended up killing him. This was right after the Newtown shooting, and this has been constantly in our city. You know, sister, they have built a $15 million juvenile prison right across the street from a lovely park. And they have not even put $4 million into the black school system in our city, okay? There's a next-door neighbor city called Oxford where they haven't even put $3 million in their brand-new school, and it looks lovely, you know? So I'm saying the prisons are growing, and we see that all the way down here in Alabama. The young black male is being targeted just for being black. You know, and it's very disturbing. And I wanted to say that, you know, he had got the gun from his cousin's house, and he brought it to school to give it back, which was a silly idea. And I just wanted to clear that up. You know, what can we do more in our community to try to give our young black males some better thinking?
Right. Well, again, the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump here, and I definitely concur with you about the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan that we are not supposed to carry weapons. Number one, I mean, that's the point that we have to keep saying. The issue with the program that Brother Carr and Brother Ahmad was talking about, the whole rites of passage, that is what's needed. But the rites of passage have to be done by elders and leaders in our community that understand that carrying weapons is not the answer, that we must depend on God, we must depend on Allah and ourselves, and that you cannot, you know, you should be thankful to Allah, you should be praying and thanking Allah that young boy was not killed, because a black man with a gun in America is, you know, when you think about somebody pulling out a wallet or just reaching for identification and getting killed on the suspicion that they have a gun, and then he did have a gun, a black man, as Francis Quelch Wilson would say, any black man that has some form of threat, just being in existence is a threat, but then him having a gun, they always want to think that he is a Django Unchained and that he may use it on them. So that boy's life could have been endangered. So he needs to understand that you cannot walk around with any kind of weapons because your life is in danger. So we have a stance, and we will continue to take the stance that we do not believe in weapons because we do believe in the power of Allah, and he is our cloak and he is our protection. And that's the number one thing. You have to entrench that in our children. And the point I also want to bring up is very interesting that Anniston is the hometown of my father. And when I grew up going to Anniston as a little boy, seeing my grandmother, Anniston was a very dry and very gray, dismal town to me. And then in the mid-90s, this whole issue of hip-hop, and I went down and I saw cars banging music, and then I was going to the park on Sunday, and they had a shootout in the park. And one of the things that's going on is this gun violence that's in our community. We're shooting one another. So there's a knowledge of self that must be taught to our young people that you don't need guns because it's killing one another. As Minister Farrakhan talked about, the mayor in Chicago mentioned it, don't put down the guns, but you need to learn how to shoot because you're shooting innocent people. People don't mind you having guns in a black community to kill yourselves, but they know that you're not coming outside of that. But be very mindful that white people, when you see them with a gun, that child's life, that he is blessed to still be alive.
Assalamu alaikum. You know,
excellent point.
We are living in the consequences of the decision that we made as a people. That decision was to integrate.
Right.
If we had our own schools the way we had when I grew up, he would have been dealt with differently. He would have first been questioned, and then if he was out of line, he would have been taken to his parents or taken down in the wood shop. Okay, instead of suspended. Suspension is the answer to everything in an integrated situation. And once a child is suspended, more than likely, eventually he will drop out because he will fall behind. It is a jungle in those schools, and I wish I could say the N-word online, because this is what these young children hear from the white people, and they have to have some feeling of power, because if they fight back, they'll be suspended. So they try to do things to try to ward these people off. But, you know, you put a child in an integrated situation where they may be one out of, maybe the 5-to-1 ratio of white over black, you put this child in a very, very terrible situation, and they try to seek some room for cover, if it's with a gang or with some type of weapon, because they're continually humiliated and talked about. Look at Gabrielle Douglas. Here they're talking about for her to have a nose job. She's a gymnast.
Right.
Why you got to put that on a child 14 years old that she needs a nose job? And then she won the medal. Did they talk about her hair? See, these are the integrated problems, or the problems that we have in integrating with a people who hate us, and they drive that hate into us, and then we take that hate back to our community. We've got
to get our
children out of this hateful environment called school.
Yeah, and both of you are correct, and I'm glad you said that, Brother Terrence. That the young man is lucky, blessed to be alive. When you see that Trayvon Martin and Jordan Davis and countless nameless others are in the ground, holding bags of Skittles and sitting in cars listening to music.
Yes, right.
So the fact that he survived that near confrontation. It is a blessing. But as you're saying, Dr. Rizzi, everything we're going through now is the product of our own refusal to do as instructed by the one that Allah God raised among us to guide us up out of this nightmare called America. Brother Malik is on the line, and he has a comment calling out of Chicago. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Dr. Ava.
How are you, sir?
Fine. Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Good salam.
Yes. I've been weighing in on the conversation, and it made me, think of the ultimate aim of this world and all the distractions with the Newtown shootings and all these things. And we got to remember what the minister did June 26, 2010 in Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm.
I mean, that was actually the beginning of the end of this final war.
Yeah.
That we really, because you have to understand, when you read that letter that he wrote, those are the guys not running the show.
Yes.
Minister made this very clear. And he did it with such devastation to them that they couldn't even mount a defense. I mean, you would think they own Time Magazine, they own the media, they own the Federal Reserve, they have so much power, and they couldn't even use any of that to come after him.
Right.
And then they couldn't even find a Negro or a nigger slave that they make to go out there. So they butt naked. You got to understand that. You know, so you got to understand what the minister did right there. So all this, and then they got Rahm Emanuel, this Jew in Chicago, and the minister moved the way he moved into the community, forced him to have to say, okay, the Nation of Islam, you guys are okay, even though he didn't mean it.
Go ahead.
But you got to see the skill of the minister and
yes,
what's really, really going on here. You got to understand, these guys, them, read that letter very clear. In fact, we need to push that harder, what the minister did in 2010, instead of letting this guy drown that out, and we getting on all these old silly issues. When the minister put that out there, that is the synagogue of Satan. That is the real problem in the world. I mean, this is not a religious talk. the minister is saying, look, this is the problem right here. These guys right here, I want you to keep the light on these guys.
Right.
Okay? That's what he did. We can't let that fall off. You know what I'm saying? Why these devils, why these Zionists are sitting there trying to create all these problems and race war. See, they trying to get white folk. The minister is trying to put the light on them. This is the problem in the world. And they trying to make the, now they trying to switch it around and make us the problem in the world, the black man in the ghetto. That's not the problem. That the problem is them dogs right there that the minister put the light on. Them right there. This is the whole problem of the planet Earth right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And we got to stop playing these games with these people, man. And not let the minister, you know, when the minister, he's straight. He good. Allah guide him. But we, but at the final call and all these, all we, our media and Dr. Ava, your show, you know, and what you have, and Dr. Rowley's brilliant, man. Brother Dr. Rizzi, you hitting it hard, man, in that final call. I love your articles, brother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You hear me? That's what I'm saying. We got to understand. This is the problem. This is what this war is all about. You know what I'm saying? And then Obama, they put him back in, okay? They didn't vote. Believe me, he did not get voted back in. They said, we got to keep this guy in here. Because I'm going to let you know something. I know from a very, I was in Tokyo, Japan. And I learned from a very highly placed black man in the nation that y'all don't know about. But he told me, he George Bush gave the orders to arrest the minister in 2004. I know this personally, and he knew it from the State Department in Japan. And if you go back to March 2004, the minister told me, if you go back to, I think it was the Easter, the minister, he said, come on, Bush, come get me. Go get that lecture.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Japan
yes.
before the minister said that, and that brother told me this. And they decided not to do it on George Bush watch. And then they, you know, that's when they started pushing Obama. Well, let's see if we can use Obama. And then in 2008, the minister came out with the Gods at War, right before Obama was elected.
Right.
You got to understand what's really, really going on here, man. You got to really
yes,
understand
sir.
all these, this is a bunch of this shit that drives me. It's really making me upset, man, because our designers are trying to sneak out the back door. You know, and make us the problem, and Django, and all this madness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And they trying to sneak out the back door like the minister didn't just put the whole satanic world problem on blast. You know what I'm saying? And they hoping that the minister just go away, and then we fail to keep it going. You know?
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, that's just my two cents, man. And, you know, I'm not saying this is a Jew bashing thing, but with the minister put, I'm talking about with those guys that he wrote on that letter, yeah, this is the real problem. We can be confident in what the minister did right there.
Exactly.
And they can sit there and play all them little games they want to play and try to make it seem like we're against the Jews. Man, believe me, our father, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, didn't make no mistake right there at all.
No, he didn't.
We can
and he's fighting the same people that Jesus fought in the New Testament. It's the same ones.
Yeah, now they're trying to come up with gun control. We don't care about no guns. I done had, you know what? I know the Tekins is right because I done had a shotgun pulled on me to my face. But you know what I was thinking? Allah didn't never tell me not to carry a gun for me to die. I know I can't be killed by no gun. I really believe that. And I've been pulled on twice. And Allah said, don't carry a gun. That's it. You don't carry a gun. Allah said, I got you.
Right. We remove guns from our reality. And it's the worst thing in the world to see Negroes getting pulled into this whole gun control and how many rounds of ammunition somebody can have and who can carry what. That is a tool of the Caucasian's world, of a world that's going out. And Brother Malik, that was very powerful what you brought to the table. We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be
yes,
there.
All right.
And I like this. What Brother Malik said was so powerful.
Mm.
And, you know, it goes back to the secret relationship between blacks and Jews.
Exactly.
Volume 2, where the Jews have always trying to use us as a scapegoat. So this,
right.
as soon as the Goyim or the non-Jews, the Gentiles, figure out who's messing with them, they come in and throw the heat on us. And so now as people are questioning Wall Street, they're questioning the Federal
right.
Reserve, which they should be questioning, now here they come with Django and any other type of go to throw it back on us because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has put the light on the right case, as Brother said, and indeed go back to 2010 and who are the real children of Israel. It's very, very important that we understand that we are in a war with Satan, and we thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the guidance that he's getting from Allah to deal with Satan himself.
That's exactly right. But we're going to go to Sister Brenda. She's got a question. Let me get her mic open. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Brenda.
Well, like assalam, family. How you all doing?
Wonderful. And yourself?
I'm doing great, by the grace of Allah. I have. I wanted to make a few points. One, I was wondering, did y'all hear about the dolls they are making? Well, they have made of the cast from the Banjo. I can't even say the name.
Yes.
I didn't like the fact that they created the movie.
In fact, there's an article about it in the Final Call. Sister Starla Muhammad, I think, wrote an article on it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Another thing, did you all hear about the latest about the shooting of Sandy, where the woman that is the representative for the shooter that was in, well, I forgot one of the states, that she is also one of the victims at Sandy? And they were showing how some of the issue of the news of how they brought up the story was recorded before it even hit the airwaves. That's another thing they was bringing up in the news, you know, that I've been hearing about. But one thing, the main reason why I had wanted to ask a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I commend Brother Carr and the other brother from Chicago, from Muhammad University, for the move they're making with the students. But I wanted to know if the minister, regarding the economic blueprint, I was wondering if the minister, because I guess, like, you know, my question last week, you know, I like you, something you said made me think. When you said we are not a cult, and I said, well, maybe I'm putting this out the wrong way. But what I wanted to ask was, is the minister thinking to bring the community in? I know, maybe I'm just asking because, you know, I don't know everything about the plan of what he's going to do.
It's all right. Just ask your question. It's okay.
Oh, okay. My question is the minister going to include the community? Would he have a meeting with the community regarding bringing them in as to building, nation building? I know it's already been in the making. I don't want to confuse what I'm saying, but I'm wondering, is there going to be an initiative for that?
Well, you know, we're not going to preempt the lecture. I wouldn't have the capacity to, but if we wanted to, but obviously, at the ultimate goal is the entire black nation. Yes, absolutely. This is the community. Those we call as students of Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he in turn is a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We call our people into the Nation of Islam. Everyone is part of the nation. We call you to register and to come into a process that will provide you with the discipline, enlightenment, empowerment, as Brother Malik just talked about, just the fact that he was taught not to carry weapons became a life-saving event for him. But the ultimate goal is, first of all, the black community and then humanity in general. And so the invitation to be part of the economic blueprint is open. It's open to all who want to follow it and accept it.
And Dr. Ava, I'll also add that, you
yes,
know,
sir.
One of the things that is the beauty of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, just as, you know, he's not a man that's so shallow in his thinking that he would not invite the world to be involved and help with the salvation of the black man and woman. And matter of fact, implore them in the sense that, you know, it's their obligation to help get us up out of this condition. So one of the things, he doesn't only just open his eyes and ears to listening to solutions that may help this condition, but he also, like you said, and I'm glad she asked the question, because one of the things we have to always let people know, this is not just for the Nation of Islam. Minister Farrakhan is not just a servant to those that are quote-unquote registered in the Nation of Islam. He
right.
is concerned for all the black people, and that's why you saw him last year. He didn't just stay in the mosque. He said, we're going out, and he didn't just go out himself. He told all the male members of the Nation of Islam to go out in our communities because our work is in the community. So he was taking the program straight to the streets, straight into those communities, and not the high-rise, wealthy neighborhoods and the middle-class neighborhoods. He going right into those places where Jesus went when he said, can any good come out of Nazareth? So the minister's work and his mission is for all of us, and he wants to include all of those that want to help in the rise of black people, and ultimately the rise of us will make the rise of this nation. So Minister Farrakhan is not closed-minded to that. He is. If you ever study the minister, when those that are learned and those are some of our scholars, he pays attention, and he listens intentionally to those and gathers the information that he needs so he can deliver the most powerful message guided by Allah and His Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But I want people
yes,
to be clear that the minister is open to helping all.
That is exactly
and
right.
And not only is he open to helping all, but he mentioned in his roundtable that he is bringing in the leading economists in the world to look at the economic blueprint.
Right.
And to guide us in the developing of that blueprint, so he's not closed in terms of action, because you remember he brought together the Black Leadership Conference before the Million Man March in 1995, and then
right.
afterwards worked with all the different organizations, not just the Nation of Islam, but all the different black organizations that are concerned about people, and he will reach out to any expertise or help, and he has done it, and he continues to do that.
That's
exactly right. Right. We're going to go to Brother Jahid. He has a question. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Jahid.
Walaikum salam. Yes, my question is in regards to separation, the stance of the nation in regards to separation. How would that process take place? Will we be marching to a new state, or
mm-hmm.
will we set out a sovereign territory within the United States, or will we do as the Mormons did and establish a city, and then how the program of the nation be the guiding principles of that city? How would that process take place?
Well, it's amazing, because everything in your question is, as I know you're probably smiling, Dr. Ridgely, we were blessed to be on a conference call with Minister Farrakhan earlier, and without going too deep into it, everything you just said was brought up, and of course you'll hear from him on February 24th at the University of Illinois Pavilion, either by being in Chicago or by the webcast. And you know, when you talk about the Mormons, I did a lecture last year where I talked about them. I think that's a good model to give you an idea in terms of the practicality and the doability of how coming together takes place. Nobody's going to be marched anywhere.
I apologize for the phraseology.
Yes, sir. But I'm just doing that for the listeners. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says allowed, look at the language, allowed to establish a separate state or territory here or elsewhere. Now, already the United States, as we know, is a loosely united conglomeration of various thought patterns and ideologies, and that's how the 50 states came to be formed. They're very distinct and substantively different in their thinking, and the uniting principle of America is white supremacy. And if you study the history of the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the whole process of this becoming the United States had to do with establishing the supremacy and superiority of the white man. That's their uniting principle. Once you get away from that, they start to come apart. and disagree. But when you hear all of this states' rights discussion that's going on, the federal government is in our business, is socialism. Up under all of that is the fear of the federal government protecting and enforcing some of the rudimentary rights of black people. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has made it very clear that if we look at our history and live our own experience, we know that after 400 years, this is not going to happen. The nature of the two people is diametrically opposed. There is going to be no integration. There is going to be no assimilation. There's going to be no kumbaya. It ain't going to happen. As Minister Farrakhan said, as long as we live with white people, we will live under them. And so since we already live in clusters, 90% of black people live in a segregated situation. It's more of a matter of turning in and beginning to do for self. And just as the Mormons moved out to Utah, they didn't have to buy it. They didn't have to go to war for it. They populated it. And in populating it with the key is a unified state of mind and a singular goal. The reason the ghetto is like it is that it's populated with people who did not come in there as a result of a conscious plan in their own interest. It's populated by people that were forced there by their oppressor. And so we don't live in the ghetto with a common goal and a consciousness of our shared history and culture and genes. Once we start to think like that, that's when everything begins to change. And so it's something that, as a practical matter, can happen very quickly and really, in truth, very easily once we get the proper state of mind. There will be, as Minister Farrakhan has reminded us and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, there will be a negotiation with the U.S. government about this. And, you know, there's a point at which, and it's written in the Old Testament, when the people when the Egyptians actually began to give things to the children of Israel. There was a point where Pharaoh said, go, get out of here. I'm being chastised so badly over you all. I want you to leave. And at a certain point, they left, and they left with great substance. And so you'll hear this, more of this, next month.
Yes. Can I say one thing?
Absolutely.
You know, one of the important parts about our situation is that we have to have the right person negotiating for us, and we must know what it is that we want. In the past, there's been a division between those who want to do for self and those who want to integrate. We have tried integration for the last 40 years. Now let us fall behind Minister Farrakhan, let him do the negotiation, but let us have a mindset that we believe, number one, in ourselves. We live in a black community, but we don't believe in that black community. We are trying to get out of it to join the white community, to be discovered and move out with them. And therefore, we feel like we're in prison when we're in our community. But if we had a mindset that we love the people in our community and we believe that we can build a heaven with those people, then we change the concept in our minds, and therefore the place on the ground begins to change. It first has to change in the mind, and this is why the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan teaching and his love for us is so important, so we will love one another, and then we can live together as brothers in our communities and make our communities a beautiful and safe place and a progressive place to live, because we will spend our money with each other.
Yes, sir. And thank you, Brother Jaheed, for that question. But absolutely. Brother Stowell is on. He's got a comment.
Assalamu
alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places, Brother Stowell.
Thank you. I like to move fast because I know there's others listening. My question is rooted in Dr. Ridgely began talking about careers and career planning, but also, his brother mentioned about separation, the last caller. My question is rooted in the Supreme Wisdom Book, where it says, referring to 379 years ago, number 28, yes, the trader made an interpretation that they received gold for their labor, more than they were earning in their own country. Then did they receive gold? 30, no. In 2012, would that answer still be no? Are we not receiving gold for our labor in their nation? And then two, if not, what does it mean? How will we receive gold in 2012 for our labor in the nation of Islam? And if I can give a little background very quickly, I think of problem number 13 where it says, it stands true. Then you must learn to use it. So after learning mathematics, which is Islam, and Islam is mathematics, it stands true. You can always prove it at no limit of time. Then you must learn to use it and secure some benefit while you are living. That is luxury, money, good homes, friendships in all walks of life. There was a brother in college who was registered at the time in the mid-90s, and when he was leaving school and going home, he said, you know, I don't want to use my last name, Muhammad. I can use, he was talking about his slave name, I don't want to say it. He said, I can use that and get more where I am at home. And the last part I like to reference is out of your book, Sister Ava, A New Way of Life. On page number 5, you talked about, for example, your present consists of working for a big monopoly like Bell Self, AT&T, Delta Airlines, Coca-Cola, the city of Atlanta. Suppose you work for one of these monopolies. You get a check every 2 weeks or every month from AT&T. You draw sustenance. And you went into that, and then you said you plan to retire from this place at a certain age, and you think that 20 or 30 or 40 years from now, they're going to send paper to you through the mail. And lastly, you said, which is powerful, on page 9, you said, people don't have power because they have money. They have money because they have power. So in 2012, and that brother, albeit, went on to have a successful career. He has a wife. He has beautiful children, eat how to eat to live, making over $100,000 a year. His wife's making about $60,000. They live clean, don't party, and he's doing his thing. So back to my original question out of the lessons, the trader, and 379 years ago, we didn't receive gold for our labor more than they were earning in their own country. But today in 2012 in America, even in our own enclave, if we plan our career, like you said, in force and power of being, project out, see it, then do it, go get it. Can we get gold in 2012 in America?
13.
And if not, can we get gold? What, is there a limit in the Nation of Islam? How can we get money in 2012 serving our own country? Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you, sir.
As-salamu
alaykum. I think you just said something, brother. Excellent insight from Brother Stowell. Brother Richard, I think you just talked into the whole essence of this thing is we leave where we are to facilitate the world of the enemy's children.
Yes.
I mean, that's the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're dealing with land acquisition, because gold is found in the ground.
Well, you know, if you go back to the lessons, you said the trader made an interpretation that we receive gold for our labor more than we receive in our own country. Well, let's look at that. When the gold was in our own country.
Right.
It was in Africa. And we got on a boat, believing some white man that we was going to find more gold. And instead we found slavery. Then he went back to our land, took our land and the gold. So now he owns the gold mines. So as we continue to run behind white people, we will always lose ourselves. Okay, we ran out of the South, looking to the North, to get a better way of life, and now those jobs are closed. And we're still, we at war with ourselves in those cities where we should go back home to the land that we still have and buy more land in these six states down south and build a heaven for ourselves on, from the land all the way to the man and start running for somebody else's goal, and we lose ourselves.
We need to accept our own and be ourselves.
Thank you.
And we're even now giving away our gold for, you know, the shops that have been set up. We'll buy, you know, we'll give you money for your gold. So we even giving, taking and giving our gold in our community now. So
cash,
it's still happening. Yep. For something that's worthless.
Oh, that's such an excellent point, because it's all over the TV. We'll give you a piece of paper that we printed in exchange for this metal, which is virtually indestructible, and that was the medium of exchange that we used, at least in this last 25,000-year cycle of history. But, you know, it goes back to what we're saying from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan. It's if you do for yourself, that's the bottom line. And the way we think, the way we feel, the way we love is diametrically opposed to their way. Only one of us is going to dominate when the two are together.
That's right.
And as you said, both of you said, I think you said the other week, Brother Terrence, they'd rather die.
Right.
And that's why when the moment President Obama was reelected, they started circulating the petitions to secede. And it is absolutely criminal, in my estimation, on the part of any Negro leader to keep pressing our people to try to get up in this.
That's right.
And I'm going to go ahead. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, in reference to the brother's question about the Nation of Islam, in terms of will we be able to receive gold within the Nation of Islam, I would like for, you know, everybody to take a view at the vending at Savior's Day. What would happen if we all lived together close enough so we can have vending two and three times a week the way we had it for those 3 days only at Savior's Day, because that's the only time we all come together? See, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we need to pool our resources physically as well as financially. Physically means we got to get closer to one another so we can do business.
Teach.
Cannot do business 2,000 by 3,000 miles all split up in little enclaves with 10 people here, 10 people there, and
right.
then you... So either you're going to have to control the community where you're at, or you're going to have to come together into a community that you can control and develop an economic sustenance and plan so people can have jobs. The problem is that we're too far apart physically. Those who love one another are too far apart physically to make that love into an economic reality.
And you're right. I mean, that's the very first thing that every other people do, is cluster together. I mean, that's why we're all alive right now, because the cells are clustered together. I mean, how could we have a liver if the liver cells were all over the place? They're all together, forming that one organ and that's sustaining life. And Savior's Day is like a microcosm of what life would be like. I love that you brought that picture to us, Dr. Ridgely. We're going to go to Brother Hoyle. He's been holding for a while. Assalamu
alaikum, sister. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. Beautiful topic. Beautiful topic. I was just listening, and I saw the Alex Jones interview. You know, you have people like Alex Jones, Ron Paul, Jesse Ventura, Gerald Celente, Jeff Rentz, Tex Mott, all of these white people that know who, you know, the main enemy of these main button pushers, the Zionists, are, you know, and they, you know, but this little group, in this militia group, you know, you have the John Birch Society and all of them, they know who they are, and they really know that how they scapegoat. Actually, they don't like black people, but they know who the real enemy is. But, you know, we've been taught that, you know, when I first came in the nation, you know, we'd save up, you know, stock up our food and water for 6 months to a year, you know, and Satan casting out Satan. If you just saw Alex Jones' face, I'd watched his his websites and checked him out. You know, he's an adamant white boy. You know, and he's down
absolutely
for what he believes. But one thing about it, we as a people, and it's beautiful how we're talking about how we should stick together. You know, we've been taught, the creative mind has been taken away from us. We look at every other, every other group, you know, they band together, you know, to come together, economically. And, you know, that was taken away, you know, the NAACP and everything was started and, you know, to everything to take away the economic development out. But I was going to tell you all this. Brother Tadarrell out of South Haven Study Group was telling me that he talked to a policeman and that the gun sales went up tremendously. And they had a thing in the news with the gun sales in Arkansas going up. These gun sales and automatic weapons are, you know, I think, was it yesterday, day before yesterday, President Obama put an executive order on, was that yesterday, on automatic weapons?
Yes.
Something like that.
I think it was yesterday or today. It was yesterday, I think.
Right, yesterday. But but Brother Tadell texted me and said that this, I mean, gun sales shot up. Like I said, they're using this Django movie to, create this race war. And also, I heard the brother early, and I heard his passion, you know, and I just look at the other groups, like the Mormons, the Quakers, the Mennonites. Y'all ever seen this reality show called, it's like a mafia, they call it, it was Quaker Mafia, something like that. It's about, what do they call them up there, in Pennsylvania. I forget the name of the tip of my
Amish.
Tongue.
Amish.
Yeah, the Amish Mafia. They have an Amish Mafia. And I was just checking them out. I passed through there some years back, and they, you know, they make nice furniture and butter, you know, honey and whatnot.
Right,
and,
right, yes.
And they have laws, you know, but still they, but these are little control groups that follow God's law. But like I said, this Mr. Farrakhan said, you know, he was telling us, he said, we haven't got to the banks of it yet, banks of the river. He said, there's bloodshed and revolution coming. So
that's
like
right.
I said, if we focus on, like Dr. Ridgely said, let's try to pool our resources, grow food, focus on ourselves. You know, God will take, Allah will take care of, you know, he's controlling.
Precisely.
You know, like I was reading what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and I'm going to let it go. I know we
okay.
said, the non-Muslim cannot win a war against Allah, the great Mahdi, without a space
That's
weapon
right.
or inner space weapon. It does not matter, for he has power over everything, the forces of nature, even our brain. He turns them into thinking and doing what he pleases him. The great waste of money to build your defense against him or the Third World War is useless. So we're looking at a living God and a living
That's
Christ.
Right.
Who's
yes,
controlling
sir.
Everything. So all we got to do is just fall in line, be right,
yes,
fall in line, let's get out here and get our people. And he said, what did he say? The true followers going to eat. So,
right.
You know.
Yes, sir.
So we just have to get out here and do what we need to do. You know, watch what's going on. But like I said, I was on telling some people,
yes,
on some talk shows, listen to this 52-week lecture. This is guidance in this dark hour. And this is going to be a very powerful study. Put them in our brains, you know. They're coming,
yes,
in every which way they can. But, sister, you keep up the good
Thank
with Brother
you.
Ridgely and the rest of the brothers and the listening audience. You know, this
Thank
is what we
so
need.
Much.
We need this little dialogue.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I pray it even gets bigger, sister. You're
yes,
blessed.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Brother Hoyle. Thank you so
thank
much
you, yes,
for what
ma'am.
You bring to the table. Appreciate it. We're going to go quickly to Sister Peggy, and she has a comment about Django.
Well, assalamu alaikum to the
well,
entire
salam.
Panel. Okay, just quickly. When I heard Brother Dr. Wesley talk about the spaghetti western, he said he didn't know much about it, then I just realized, oh, Django is a spaghetti western.
Right.
If you recall,
yes,
the first Django back in 1966, That was an Italian spaghetti western. And I and then the Django part, I couldn't understand. That didn't look like anything European to me. And then another one came out in the 90s. And then when this one came out, I said, you know, I really don't want to see that. That's another spaghetti western. I don't like anything by Quentin Tarantino because he's nasty. So I, so then I heard that it was good, so I went to see it, and I was very pleased. And then Brother Dr. Issa said that we know Django. But, you know, I know this, the one that they call Shango. I know that Shango because my mother introduced me to Shango. When I was a child, she introduced me to Shango during the storm, during the driving rain, with thunder that was so loud it seemed to shake the house, and the lightning was so brilliant it seemed to light up the room, and she ordered us to turn off the TV, stop moving, and be quiet, because God was working. And this Shango in Africa, he is an iron worker. He is also the god of the killing fields. So my mother, my father would say, well, you know, God is always working, you know. What is that all about? And she would say, well, you know, you're just disrespectful. So he was coming from a metaphysical point of view. My mother was coming from a point of view of reality, because we'd ask her, well, where is God? Because she didn't know his name was Shango, because that's an African name. But she called him God, and she didn't mean that he was the god of Leonardo da Vinci or whatever. This god was Shango because, as I said, he was the god of the killing fields. And if you were driving around the car, you turned off the radio. This is the god of revenge. In her mind, this was God. My mother is Gullah. My family is Gullah. They were Gullah. They're even on the very first census that the government put out back in the time of Thomas Jefferson. I can trace my family back to 1700s, and so I know this Shango. He is what we call the Christian God. We call him God, but really he's the Shango. That's the Africanism part.
Yes, ma'am. That's a beautiful insight. Go ahead. Yes, ma'am, real quick.
And then one last thing. When I work for a sister in our community who has a daycare center, and she happened to put on a Tyler Perry movie to entertain the people, and her sister was saying, I'm going to tell you who likes Tyler Perry. I said, who? She said, the minister. I said, did you see that? She said, I heard it on the radio. She said, I didn't think that the minister would like Tyler Perry. But anyway, that's all I have to say. And assalamu alaikum.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Peggy. And, it, you know, the minister was talking about her, reminded us again that Shango or Django or Django is, he said the underlying path thread of Shango in this character,
yes.
Several movies, as you pointed out, and then Dr. Issa teaching on the African God, the underlying pervasive theme is vengeance. And in that, of course, is a warning to white people, the Jamie Foxx character, who, as the minister notes in his interview, is wanting to save his woman who's being abused. He wants his woman back, his wife, and he wants to remove her from the mistreatment and the misuse at the hands of the white man. But in this hour, that is a prescription for war. And it's really excellent for us to have these conversations and this analysis, and it's fascinating to learn from the listeners and learn from each other the powerful history that we share together. I'm going to take one more call because I want to go out with playing an excerpt again from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I want to thank Sister LaDonna for the excerpts tonight, and we're going to do more next week on this. But I'm going to take one more call. I think I lost the one. I'd skipped over somebody to accidentally when I called on Sister Peggy. But I want to say to the callers, if we leave anybody hanging, I want to say that Blog Talk Radio dropped a lot of our calls tonight. We're going to address that and see what's causing that. I think I have an idea. But we have Sister Nora on with a comment. Real quick, Sister Nora?
Yes, ma'am. I'm from the Lakeham family.
Lakeham Salon.
I was just, that was Brother Risley, I think, just was talking about how in the past, well, how if we look at the vendors at Savior's Day, and
yes.
I was just going to comment on growing up in the nation. When we went to university, at number one, we had next door to the mosque, we had Brother John Muhammad, the messenger's brother, and Sister Bernstein. She would cook. So you always had somewhere to go to eat. You had a bakery down the street. Brother Riley had an artifacts on the corner. We had a cleaner's. We had a vegetable. We had, matter of fact, two vegetable places. We had our own store. And you didn't have to go to the Caucasian for anything. We was really
right.
Separated in a two or three block range.
Yes.
We were separate, and there was a lot of Muslims that lived in the neighborhood. We had Sister Evelyn, she did sewing, and eventually the nation bought the mosque bought the building next door. And
yes,
we ended up having a factory in there, so we could go in there and make our clothes and our uniforms. So you had everything right there.
Yes.
You did not
That's
have
right.
My mother had a department store, so you didn't
yes.
even have to go to them for furniture. You could go there
we
for clothes and everything.
To that. Thank you, Sister Nora, so much.
Yes, ma'am. And like
reminding
the,
us that we've obtained this and we have to keep it. We've got to stop rejecting self. That's our problem. But thank you so much, Sister Nora. We've got to go. I want to remind everybody next week, Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing right here on Elevated Places. And also go to avaspeaks.com to get the latest lecture delivered, One Man, at Mas Mariam, December 30th. You can get that today. And please remember that we'll be back next Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Thank you, Dr. Risley. Thank you, Brother Terrence, the whole Elevated Places team, Sister Rona, Brother Bobby, and, of course, our wonderful specialist, tech specialist, Sister LaDonna. And so we're going to go out with Minister Louis Farrakhan.
The wicked king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, used music, art, culture to dumb down the people so that they would not be mindful of how God was wreaking his wrath on Babylon. Art and culture, music, have a great role to play in any society. The great artists, the great musicians, the great people of culture. It's how you use what God has given you as a gift. It is unfortunate that what America exports to the world is a decadent culture that is affecting and infecting people throughout our planet. And that's why certain societies that are Islamic do not want any of America's culture. It's difficult to keep it away from young people all over the world. But to take our talented men and women and use them as sex symbols and to spread decadent filth to the world is part of a plot by Satan, who is in control of America's music, art, and culture, and therefore to corrupt the talent that God gives and to use it to dumb down the American people and to dumb down the world's people and to make the youth of the world respond to decadence rather than respond to wisdom as their life is just starting. What kind of life will they have? So art and culture and movies and music has a great place. But the revolution of our thinking must be reflected in our art and our culture, and the talent of our young people must always be used to lift the minds of those who are touched by our music, our song, our dance, our plays, our movies.